about it, moves up to Fearson, another wheel is cruising up on the outside, and now Carset going another wheel, going after Think About It, Pericles stays on well. Over on the inside, it's Militarized launching his attack, and further back to Obam Biramai. Up the inside, Militarized, wide out Pericles. Pericles and Militarized fighting it out for the moment. Nugget bursting through, and here he is, Celestial Legend, bombing them wide out. Celestial Legend won the...
All right, hello and welcome to another episode of the Give Us a Spell podcast. My name is Zach, coming to you for a little preview of day two of the championships. I had to play on with Celestial Legend there, taking out the win last week. That was one of the great rides I've ever seen. Tyler Schiller, if you haven't watched the overhead, do yourself a favor. He found this minuscule gap and just went for it. Obviously, trainer Les Bridge, 85 years young and still training Group 1 winners. Absolutely amazing win in the Donny. And for whatever reason, we went to a heavy eight. That is just amazing from the track managers over at Randwick. That is insane. I had no hope of us running. We ended up, didn't even end up doing a podcast. We had no idea what was going to happen. We're either going to be on the heavy slop or we just weren't going to race. We didn't think we were going to race. And we ended up on a pretty good track and it played pretty well. Pretty surprised. But yep, Celestial Legend was amazing. There was some great racing throughout the day in Sydney, so that was really cool. We look forward to day two of the championships. Tom is going to be joining me, Kohai as well. Kohai is overseas at the moment, but he's in Vietnam, but he's going to be joining us. It looks like he's still been doing his form, so it's a cracking day this week. Some big races coming up this weekend, and absolutely pumped. Queen Elizabeth is going to be a cracker. Arrowfield's there, the Oaks, the Sydney Cup. It's a cracking day, so we look forward to it. Let's dig in. We're getting in early this week, recording on a Wednesday, so fields and markets have pretty much come out properly today, so we've had to rush through a bit of form this afternoon. But let's go to you, Coey. Where are you hailing from right now?
Boys, I believe, from what I hear, you guys are copping a little bit of light rain back in Sydney town. I've found a little bit of paradise. Not sure how. I mean, I got invited to a wedding and it's a destination one, and I am hailing from an island west coast of, off the west coast of Vietnam at the moment. Palm trees everywhere, big umbrellas, sun's beaming, talking, you know, mid-30s all day, every day. It's a low of 28 degrees. Beers are going down like water. You pretty much sweat it out instantly. It is fantastic. It's all-inclusive. Let's get amongst it.
How long are you there for?
On the island or just away in
away.
General?
Away and island, both.
So I landed on the island yesterday. It's called Phu Quoc. I didn't even know this place existed up until probably about 2 months ago when I had to actually book for this wedding. But yeah, it exists. It's beautiful. And I, before that, 2 nights in Ho Chi Minh, just a big city. Quite funny, actually. It's just a party town. A lot of bodies there, a lot of travelers, all the above. And then I'm here for another, so today is Wednesday. So I leave here the Tuesday next week, and then another 2 nights in Ho Chi Minh and then fly home.
Must be nice. Love that. All right, well, I did find it funny today that you wanted someone to send you a screenshot of markets because you can't look at markets whilst you're over there. That was pretty good and nice of Tommy to back one for you, so we can mention that soon. Whichever race that was, race one. Well, what was it? What was the horse you really liked?
Rasp, a Godolphin runner.
$9, it looks like. Okay. In the first. Beautiful. Tommy, how much notice has he given you going away day two of the championships? That's probably a bit out of line working at Sky.
Yeah, it's a little bit, but he's been a pretty hard worker and he's been saving up his dong for some time now. But yeah, no, he's got a big Brizzy Carnival ahead as well. So and he's got a crap load of leave, so I can't really judge.
It's very good point, actually. Coey has a shitload of leave. I've always known that. But what do we think about last week? So we did a little podcast with Brad, which was pretty cool, but we didn't end up doing a bit of form. I actually had no idea what we were going to do. In my head, I thought we were Buckleys of racing. They ended up calling it on Saturday morning saying heavy 10, upgraded to 9, upgraded to 8. Tommy, you were out there. Did you have a good look? What did you think? What was the talk early on?
Mate, I reckon I got sent that Peter Moody video of the middle underwater about a dozen times Saturday morning, and I got ready and I was sort of just sitting on my bed waiting, do I go, do I wait? And then they said on radio, look, they're going to make a decision in half an hour. And I thought, oh, if I wait half an hour, I'm going to be late if they have it on. So I drove, and half an hour became 45 minutes. And I sort of, just as I'm parking, they made the decision to go on. So I was like, all right, here we go. Let's go. And it ended up being a great day. The track kept improving and sun was out and it was a bit humid there as well. So like it would have sucked a bit of moisture up as well. And seemed to be no problem where that flooding was. It just kept getting drier and drier. So I think the right decision was made. No one was injured. Track played pretty well. Could have used a few more winners, but that's maybe this weekend, hopefully.
Coey, what did you make of it? Like, I in my head, I thought there's no hope that we run, but obviously the work of, who is it? Like Mike Wood and those lads, like what they've done to get that up and happening is pretty insane.
Absolutely correct. I think the work that the track staff did in the lead up of it, I mean, it was perfect. And I guess if there was one thing, I mean, we all know that social media is a negative space and everyone's, you know, kind of writing the whole meeting off prior to it actually starting. And full credit to them. Like the fact that they just went, it's a genuine heavy 10, but with the weather forecast, and let's be honest, the weather forecast in itself played in their favour, because I think initially looking at it even Friday morning, even it was looking kind of 50-50 that we were going to get rain right up until about midday. And the fact that it was so heavy, like Tommy spoke about the Peter Moody video. That was at, I don't know, like 5 a.m. or something like that. And come 7 a.m., blue skies. I mean, you couldn't write that stuff. And you know what? Full credit to them. And then, yes, the track was, for the most part, fair, I think. But obviously, everyone was kind of coming off fence immediately. And as the track dried, it became fairer and fairer. So first couple of races, yeah, definitely a little bit of a bias, but all in all, I mean, it's just an astonishing like achievement to just even go ahead with it, because if it wasn't to be, who knows? I mean, I guess the whole carnival would have shifted the whole week and we didn't have to go through that. And you know, a couple of years back when Tancred Day was moved, that was a bit of a punish as it was, but overall, the fact that we ran, great result.
Yeah, insane. So, Tommy, you were mentioning Moody just then. I was going to ask, like, what your favourite race of the day was or favourite moment. A lot of people have said Celestial Legend. I played on with it to the podcast, so we all know that that was really good. But what do we think of the TJ? So, there was a lot of yarns about, I wish I win, haven't seen it since the Everest last year, how's it going? And then all of a sudden, his other runner in Chain of Lightning salutes in the TJ. Was that a bit surprising?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, I backed it when it won last start and it was a good price, but it was, he's been in Group 1 company for a while and then it's sort of just gone back and back to Group 1. He's obviously got an opinion of it. So, yeah, I think people had some other horses fancied, but maybe it was just a better wet tracker than some of them. Yeah, you thought Imperatrix and probably I Wish I Win were going to be the tough ones, and no. Credit to him. I think that was one of the good stories of the day. Definitely Tyler as well. Thought Kayla Nisbet winning the country championship was great, and her, the scenes of her family and just a big grin. Just
that was having a huge win for a horse I didn't know a lot about.
Again, just another genuine wet tracker. Speaking to Anthony Manton today, he said he spoke to the connections as well, and They were happy to be there. I don't think they were overly confident, but I just had some really good wet track wins and just suited on the day, and that was pretty good. Good banter was one I backed, so that was good. And yeah, there were a couple other good stories. I was going
Manal was good.
Yeah, Manal was good too, and Espionage early, but Zardozi coming out hurt when you were on at 17s.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you?
And what about Debbie?
Only 10.
The weekend of Debbie.
Yeah. So let's mention it. So if you're living under a rock, Winx is Philly went for a cool $10 million. There was an American lad that was pushing it, saying that he was going to get it. He was going to buy it. There was no bidding. He was actually just going to buy it outright. No one's going to beat him, whatever. And then along comes Debbie sitting at a table, forking out 10 large to keep. So how does that work? Tommy, is she buying it off herself?
Yeah, I think there's a bit more things to it. So I think the American guy said he was gonna buy the horse, but then he had a cap at $9 million and Debbie just wanted it. But I think they worked out that she's gonna pay about $6.5 million for it. There are two other owners in it. One is deceased, but his family and his estate are in it. So I think it's the smart thing to do is to sell it at auction and see how much it's worth. So both other parties get their full price, but Debbie wants to buy it back. I know she said, James McDonald said after coming back on Riff Rocket while she's been interviewed, he yelled out to her going, there you go, you should have enough to buy the Wings filly now. And that she did. And you can see just the genuine emotion. I mean, we saw it with Wings, how much she, I didn't want to say carry on, but she, yeah, just loved the horse and just gets really excited after it. And then she just burst into tears. And I think that was in every newspaper and, yeah, news bulletin as well, that she just broke down after she bought it. It was really emotional. And I was out there with the sales, working on a broadcast there, and I've never seen so many people at a sales, and Tom Magnier was so emotional after as well. I mean, I probably would be too if I had $10 million coming my way, but Peter Tye's wife, she got really emotional, just the scenes there. And it's sort of like when the horses jump in a big race, like an Everest or whatever, that this big roar of the crowd, and then everyone goes silent just because they want to see and hear and just want to know what's happening. And it happened really quick, and it was just the two of them bidding, and it just went 1, 2, 3 million, 4 million, 5 million, all the way to 10. And yeah, Debbie got a horse.
Yeah, it happened very quick. And you think of Debbie, yes, she forked out 10 million, but her family and herself are worth an absolute stack. So Ingham chicken. So she can afford it, which is awesome, and she does a lot of good things for racing. Some people have negative things to say about her, which I think are pretty stupid, but she does do a lot of stuff well for Australian racing. But Coey, what was your favourite part of day one?
Day one has to be Tyler. I think that's just some Tyler ride. And Les Bridge. Some ride, Les Bridge, 85, claiming Group 1 success again. 30 whatever years it was in between drinks, winning the Donny. I mean, it was a story like you couldn't script that. Like, it was just absolutely perfect. And just even the Darren Flindell call, all in all, I mean, everything was just tip-top. Probably the second favourite race in the autumn for me, after probably the Queen Elizabeth, and then a close TJ just coming in at third. But, oh, it was just so good to see it play out like it did. It's just, that's what the championship brings. And you know what? The good guy saluted. Can't ask for more.
Yeah. Absolutely unreal. Tommy, we mentioned last week that Tyler, when we spoke to him a year or so ago, that his race he wanted to win was the Sydney Cup. So that's going to be pretty keen. He's on Athabaskan, which we'll touch on a bit later. But we may as well get stuck into it. We're going to go through the whole card, obviously spend more time on the big races, but a few of the boys like some of the earlier ones, especially in the first race. And that's where some of the boys, Kohai, wanted to back a horse called Rasp, which is the Godolphin runner. Just a Party's there at fives. We have Broadsiding, another Godolphin runner at 290. A couple of others under the quotes, under $10. But Coey, why don't you just start it off? Why did you like Rasp?
I just thought that when I was doing the form, so like you mentioned earlier, I just got no market indication here. So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I wasn't reading into it too much. I figured that Broadsiding will probably lob the favourite after a strong, you know, Bailey, you know, performance and so forth. And I just felt that if just a party who is going around as the second elect right now, they both come out of the same race at Wyong. And I think the further trip definitely suits Rasp. I think they rode it a little bit upside down in that Wyong race. It just didn't map well. So they just decided to, I wouldn't say tail away last, but it was at the rear of the field and it just wasn't mapping well. So this time I feel the bigger field and everything else, it will probably lob and stretch out midfield, probably even better than midfield, I think, with a bit of cover. It's going to meet Just a Party 1.5 kilos better here at the weights. And Yeah, I just think it's just the overs play. And that's, you know, like, I guess we try to find an edge when we're doing form. And I think I can justify that, you know, obviously broadsiding is the one that's kind of in form and noted from Godolphin, but its stablemate's no slouch either. And I think just the fact that they're throwing it into this Fernhill Mile, which, you know what, it's produced some decent winners in the past. Like, Tom Kitten's won this, Converge's won this. I think they know the makeup of the horse, and I think that really gravitated me, just making the early plunge and just going, yeah, let's have something small on it and take the value, because I think broadsiding is at rock bottom price. It definitely could shorten even further, but I think Just a Party being the measuring stick, being $5, as you said right now, I think the two of them should be closer together in the market. So I'm just backing the overs here and hoping for the best. And quite honestly, I'd be happy to just take the Quinella. Take Just a Party, not Just a Party, sorry, Rasp and broadsiding as a Quinella.
All right, so you're getting 290 broadsiding at the moment and 950 for Rasp. All righty, Tommy, any thoughts? Are you in agreeance with Rasp? I know you put a bet on for Coey today.
Yeah, he sort of convinced me to go that way, and I looked into it, and yeah, it's that was a really nice run, and yeah, Godolphin at this time of year, looking at those 2-year-olds getting to a mile as well, it might be one to follow. Jamie Carr on, I like, and now we're on at unders as well, because I backed it at 850 up to 950 now, so hopefully something.
Take it. It'll win. Coey's confident. Was confident getting in on a Wednesday. That's good. We go to race two, 1,400 metres. It is, we got Butch Cassidy in this race. That's a horse I don't mind. And it's $8 in the 650. It's going to be second up. The favourite, though, is Robrick. Drawn very wide. Ben Mellum is riding at $6. Pretty much bang on what it opened. It's had a couple of runs leading up. So it's, I think it's fourth up this prep. $8 for Razors. Due to run well. I think it ran okay when Timmy Clark was aboard last start. That's at $8. $8.50 for Port Lockroy, $7.50 for Midnight Opal. The other one that's in single figures is Kandinsky Abstract, the Willows aboard. It's 15s into 9.50, so someone's had a couple of bucks on it to make the market move. Tommy, what do you think? Race number two, anything?
Really, really open race. I was on Robrick last start and a little bit disappointing. I think it's two runs before that were a lot better. Butch Cassidy have been a bigger fan of as a 2-year-old, and keen to see it back now. And as you said, second up should be a lot better. Bit of a wrap on Midnight Opal. You can see why as well. Raises, yeah, suddenly hit form. I like Port Lockroy's had a gallop before that run, and then that run finishing second's good. And you get an 850. I don't mind that at all. It's a tough race, and then there's Kandinsky Abstract to what sold for record amount this time last year, or a couple of years ago now. I think it's so open. Like, even looking at down the order, I think there might be that Kadaba might be one to follow in the future for Waller. Waverley's keen to see it come back. Look, it's a good race, and if you do like one, I'd see you into it. I'm probably leaning towards Butch Cassidy because, yeah, I think he'll improve second up, but it's, yeah, such a good race.
You mentioned Robrick. I think Robrick's run two starts back in that English sprint was pretty unreal, to be honest. It was second behind Estriella, which was really cool. Was it Brave Me? Did Brave Me pass away yesterday?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I saw something about that. Yeah.
Broken. It's shattered a sesamoid, unfortunately. It was due to run in the... Arrow Field, and it's a sad story because, I mean, if it ran in the Arrow Field, that is a red-hot field. I think that would have broken apart the betting big time, but just the fact that it's come out, unfortunately, and, you know, condolences to the connections because, I mean, you don't wish that upon any horse or anyone in that matter, and these things are just unfortunately a part of the great game, and it just passed away at Trackwork.
What about you, Kai? Anything race two?
Race two. So I do like Midnight Opal, albeit it is a really, really tough race. This is probably the trickiest race on the card, I genuinely think. I mean, the market obviously dictates that. But saying that, I think the 1,400 is a slight query, but it meets Robrick 5 kilos better in the weights. here. So that's a big tick. I think the nice mid-draw, it'll be off the fence, have some nice cover, and I think it'll run on. And third up, you know, I think it'll be ready to peak. So I'm with Midnight, but as you guys have already mentioned, Butch Cassidy, most credentialed runner in the field without a doubt. Heavily penalised, though, by the handicappers. Yeah. It's got to be carrying 60. 60 is a lot in something like this. And his first up run in Star Kingdom was, I genuinely think it was a bit of a forgive. I think just it was a really muddling race, which, you know, Bandy's boy, you know, came out and won. It was trapped wide. It was about three wide for probably the first two or three furlongs. So definitely overworked, but it's still stuck on well. The extra 200 shouldn't be an issue for it with a softer draw. It was a fourth in a Golden Rose last year, so the form is there. The form is definitely there, and the Golden Rose last year was, I mean, it's a really good bit of form.
That's what I was about to bring up. So that was 1,400. You got Militarized, End Cap, Cylinder, Butch Cassidy, all within half a length of each other.
Correct. So, like, I mean, the measuring stick is Butch Cassidy, but I think the weight has slightly deterred me. Yeah, I think 60 kilos in a really level-pegged, you know, field like this, especially with, you know, the likes of the lower weights here, I just don't want to be betting with it. It could definitely well and truly run a hole, but I don't think it'll win. Robrick, more or less, Tommy's touched on it. I think tough run in the Munro. It's got this tendency. It's a slow starter, and if you watch the replay, it starts on the aerial shot, and you can clearly see it's drawn the one marble. We've got the dream draw, but I can't remember who wrote it, but had to absolutely go tooth and nail with it for the first furlong to kind of hold that position. Yeah, Damien Lane had to hold the position and managed to settle, you know, three back the pegs. But I just think, yeah, it ran on well, but I think it's going to need luck again. The wider barrier could alleviate it, but I think, I just don't know. I'm so 50-50 with that horse, and I don't know. Like, I mean, the market is probably correct, suggesting that he's the favourite, the way he ran on and everything else. But I just want to back around, and I think Midnight Opal with the 1,400, step up, 5 kilo, better at the weights. I think that's where I want to be. So, yeah, him on the, I guess, the each way line, really, because I think you can back pretty much anything on the each way line here.
Yeah. Alrighty. Okay, we go to the provincial midway. So these are pretty cool. $1 million up for these. 1,400. Tabby Time is the favourite. And Tabby Time is on a bit of a drift. 350 out to 440 today. Went around very short last start when you both went all in on Tabby Time and Winchat. Ran a really good race and won. But that's a $4.40 favourite. So it's on the drift. A couple of the ones that have come in. We got Shadows of Love at eights. I'm trying to see where the money's come from. Territory Express, 480. Willinga Freefall. That's actually had the bit of coin for it. Likewise with Willinga Beast, so the Lees runners. So Freefall, 13 into 8, 11 into 8 for Willinga Beast. Timmy Clark's on that one, but it's a pretty big field. Tommy, we have about 4 days' worth of sun coming up. Are we expecting a good track, do you reckon?
I'd say, yeah, soft going into good, probably soft into improving. I haven't really looked at the weather.
It says soft 7 now, but it looks, yeah. I just looked at the weather and it says just sun in the next 4 days.
Yeah, you'd think that improving track. Funnily enough, I got sick of looking at the weather after the schmozzle of last week, but This is a good race. This is one of the better ones I can remember. You've got Tabby Time, who was all the rage, and then, yeah, disappointing to a lot last time, especially you backed it. But looking back at it, Winchat, when being left to lead, especially on its own, I think it's 4 from 4, and just looked way too good. And when it gets it easy up front, it's really hard to run down. So I'm not too bothered. I'm more bothered by the draw, if anything, for Tabby Time. It's going to be a bit tricky, but hopefully it'll just fun and nice. I like Dylan on for Chris Lees too, the apprentice and the master, and hopefully he can get the win. I'm a big fan of Tabby Time, but Territory Express's run last start was huge in the Ajax, I think it was, and behind Democracy Manifest, and you thought Democracy Manifest was home, and then you saw Territory's coming at it, and Territory Express coming at it, and you thought, wow, he might get there and just miss, but it was huge. Straight ace, went off the boil the first few runs, but that last start, traveling three wide the trip and rocketing home and almost still getting them was incredible. And you think at Randwick, really suited, and Shadows of Love sort of couldn't get the win last prep and now strung a few together. It goes to Gosford. It went to Gosford to qualify the 1200 meter race and really did well. Hasn't won a 14 yet, but has a really good second behind Luke Varde, and we've seen what Luke Varde has gone on to do. So I think Shadows of Love could be an improver. Those top four, it's make it a really, really tough race, and you could go on with a few others. But I reckon I'm going to stick with Tavi Time and have something on Shadows of Love, but wouldn't surprise me if the other two win as well. It is a ripper race.
Tavi Time, you're going to have to keep an eye on the market with a little bit of a drift today. But, Coey, what about you? What do you like here? Are you giving any love to something like Straight Acer?
Well, I could definitely talk days about Straight Acer. I think just the fact that Ed Cummings went this path, I think it was genius. Just the fact that he could qualify, and it's a $1 million carrot at the end of the at the end of the preparation. So, I mean, why wouldn't you do that for the the connections? And, you know, great talented horse. Like, I mean, you have to look back at its last prep. It, you know, it, the things that it did, it's a Group 1 place getter running in a provincial midway. It's quite remarkable. But the only thing that really disparages me from betting into it is just the fact that it's drawn low. Because I suspect that it will be still worse with midfield. It's never been, you know, one to settle forward or anything like that. It likes to run through the pack and everything else. And just the fact that the rail's out, and I suspect that a lot of the horses will be coming off the fence and everything else considered, it's going to need a lot of luck in running. I do think that, you know, running at Randwick is a big tip. A big open straight would benefit it big time. And I've got him in the numbers for sure, for sure. But just for that fact, I have kind of shopped around, and I've kind of landed on the same horse that's come out of the same qualifier in Osbred Flirt as the overs play. Once again, it's drawn a perfect gate. It'll probably get the run of the race. It'll be up on speed, everything else. And considering where Tavi Time is drawn and everything else, I just think that Osbred Flirt, it's a stakes grade horse as well, you have to remember. And I think it's going to get every chance to probably hit the front at some point, as you know, the top of the straight, or, you know, with a furlong and a half to go. So I've got Osbred Flirt on top at the moment. I think it just stalks the speed and just pounces, and it's definitely the value play. Tommy's already touched on Tavi Time. I think the biggest, biggest factor for it is the gate. I think it might have to work to find position, and it's not a race you want to be trapped wide. It's going to be high pressure, everything else. So it's a class horse, but I just can't have it on top. Shadows of Love and Territory Express, definite player horses as well. Shadows of Love can settle anywhere, which is the big benefit of it. It's come from the front. It's come from the back. It can run anywhere in the run, and it could just build into it. So big upside, and Tommy's back on her. Territory Express, Tommy's touched on it. Group 2, place getter. That Ajax, we saw a lot of horses go towards, obviously, the Donny. But Territory Express was warming up for a provincial midway final. And that form line definitely sticks true. So definitely a watch for it. And it'll be, you know, if the pace is hot up front, watch it launch late like it did last start. But at this stage, I think Osbred Flirt, where it sits in the run, is the value play. I think that's just where the each way money goes.
All right, so Osbred Flirt, you're getting $12.360, so keep an eye on that one. Alicia Collett rides. We go to the Percy Sykes, $1 million up top. Not up top, in total prize money for the two-year-old girls, Lady of Camelot. We all know about her now. Blake Sheen aboard. Drawn very wide, though, but it's 280 into 240. Deserved favourite, you'd think. $5.50 you're getting for Aniza. Nothing else really, really short. There's a couple around the $10 mark. Drifting is on the drift. Surprise that. That's sixes out to 11. To be or not to be is about the $12 mark. But this is a pretty tough one, Tommy. Can we go around Lady of Camelot? What do you reckon?
Yeah, a bit hard to go around the slipper winner at 1200 again. She's beaten the crown of the crop of the two-year-olds. So, and I don't think there was too much issue. She was going to run last week, but they were just concerned with the track on the rain. So an improving track, it's really hard to go around her. Into the race setup, I think as a two-year-old field, there's a fair bit of speed. The three I'm looking at is Drifting. I thought was really good holding on. He'll have a bit more pressure this time though, and could set it up for something like Fly Fly. I thought Fly Fly was really impressive last start, really hitting the line well, and just another race experience as well could really help it. So Fly Fly's one, and Erno's Cube, just the big Erno's Cube getting to Randwick, and a bit of a target race for it. Could have gone on the slipper, but I think they always had their eyes on this race. So they're the ones sort of around. But, yeah, hard to knock slipper winner.
I also missed Amina. That's also in single figures. J-Mac aboard for Friedman's. Is that anything? What do you reckon, Coey? Any chance?
I don't know. Like, I think it's a bit of a J-Mac tax that's kind of come into play.
Agree, yeah.
I'm not 100% settled on that form line. I think nail on the head stuff. I mean, Tommy's just said, you know, slipper form's pretty hard to trump. And I totally agree with him. I just think that looking at it, I know the barrier is definitely not ideal. I get it. But in terms of ratings and Philly's ratings, he has to be a clear on topper. If Blake Shin can kind of set her forward, I don't know. Even if she settles midfield, I think she's just too good to catch. I think the price is probably about the right price. I mean, she's a slipper winner. She's a Group 1 winner, for God's sake. So, travelling over the same trip. So, I've definitely got her on top. The two clear dangers I had, Mark, were Anisa definitely upside. Strong run in the slipper. Well back in the field. It wasn't suited. I thought the camp might have wanted to go further in trip. But I guess the million-dollar carrot is too kind of big to refuse, so expect a big showing from her with the better draw and something slightly overs. Erno's Cube, I think just the fact that she was all right, always skipping the slipper to come into this race. Kieran Maher knows how to train horses like this. She could be absolutely tip top coming to this, and I mean, she's been up against, you know, the likes of Espionage and so forth, and we saw what he did last week, so I think the form can stack up in that kind of direction. So for what I think it was $18 at the time, I can't remember the price for the place, but I could see her filling a hole as well. But, yeah, I think the clear play is Lady of Camelot or, you know, the exotics or standout exotics, whatever you like, and just box up a few.
Yeah, and it's always good to see Blake Shin sitting on a shorty as well in Lady Camelot, sticking with. We go to the Arrowfield 3-year-old sprint, another $1 million in this prize money. Osmosis is the favourite, $3. It was $3.50 earlier on today. Rachel King riding for Bjorn was an absolute nightmare of a watch in the galaxy for whoever backed it there. That was always hard to watch. Arkansas Kid, that's had a couple of bucks for it, into $12. Others, we got $5. A little bit of a drift for Schwartz. Didn't think that was too bad. It's last run. Jolly Star, 11's into $8.50. And Learning to Fly is sticking around the $8.50 mark as well. But Shorty Osmosis, Tommy, I'm hoping you weren't on it last start.
No, I wasn't. It was a bit hard if you were. Yeah, that wasn't good. But trialed since, I'm pretty sure. I think made the trial and gotten through it okay. Just after that last start, I don't think I could be with it. I mean, we've seen it at its very best and what it can do, but you're taking $3 to test that. I don't know. I thought Schwartz was good on return, just really tough effort and fought back. So if you want to be on Schwartz, I think I can't talk you out of it. I think it was really strong, drawn pretty well, gets McDonald, just tick, tick, tick there. Jolly Star returning. Yeah, no, I don't think I could be with it either. One I want to give a bit of a rap to is Mumbai Muse. I think there's been a couple of problems with it and they've given it a bit of a fresh, but looking at this last prep, it just went from strength to strength and having a bit of a freshen and reassessing here. Yeah, I think it was that first run where they was something didn't feel right and Yeah, I'm just a big fan of the horse. Tommy Berry on too, and you're getting $17. I'll be having something on more by Muse, but yeah, big rap on Schwartz too.
All right, yeah, $17, Mumbai Muse. Coey, would you ever take $3 Osmosis going into this?
It's so hard to say at this stage because, I mean, that first up run was definitely, you know, an asterisk. It almost threw Rachel King off the horse. So it was just kind of a run around the track, everything else in between. I could definitely think that she is... he is the one to beat. I could definitely make different cases about it. He's a group one winning, you know, horse, everything else. Definitely the one with the credentials, right? So he's got the resume. And the only other group one winner in this field is Jolly Star, who won it over 1600. So it's apples and oranges in that regard. And it being a set weights event, like, I think it just brings him right back into it. And Barrier one, like, it's a tick. It's so hard. Like, I mean, I think you have a little saver on her. I keep calling her. But I think he could absolutely show up and hold the fence. And there is a bit of speed in this, but I think definitely the class horse. But the one that I want to make a case for is Arkansas Kid. Great resumption in the sunlight. First up, inform filly in Estriella beat it. Yeah, I get it. But second up, should be better. I think Flemington is the Flemington Straight is a horses for courses kind of thing. And I can kind of give it a better than pass mark, so to speak. I think find it in a turning track. I think the acceleration that this horse has is pretty solid. So I think there is a bit of an overpriced there. Should get a beautiful run in transit and pretty much have one crack at them when the splits open. So I think there is a little bit of luck in run to play out, but I think he is definitely something that I could entertain for a little bit. Obviously the other ones like the Novelist, Schwartz, Learning to Fly, the likes, they've all been primed for something like this. Some of them come out of the Derby Munro, Novelist and Schwartz in particular. I could see drastic improvement second up, but I think I'm purely kind of gravitated towards the price of Arkansas Kid. So I'll have him a little bit on the each way, and then I think Osmosis, just purely for class sake, I think he's hard to remiss. I think just forgive him for what he did last start. He's trialed successfully since. Had that track gallop earlier this week. It's just tick, tick, tick. I think, yeah, it looks to suit and his to lose. And, yeah, as for Learning to Fly, I don't know. It's been a bit of a gut buster for her, and her scratching out of the heavy 10 last week, I kind of get it, but this looks to be actually a way tougher race. So not sure if she's up to it quite yet. She was touted to be a big thing. Hopefully she becomes a big thing, but I'm just not sure about it. I'm just on the fence with her. So Arkansas Kid each way, saver on Osmosis.
All righty, Arkansas Kid, $12, $3.50. Coey mentioned the Novelist. That's probably what I'll be having my little each way play on as well. Like what it did in the Derby Munro. Came fourth, but I thought it was okay. 18 to 4.60. We move on. It's party time where Coey is. You can hear the music starting there. So I think he's a couple of hours behind us. But we move race 6, 2,500 metres, and it's the Oaks. So interesting one. We got Orchestral going around again. J-Mac is aboard. Was $1.90 into $1.65 very quick. Zardozi is there. We obviously didn't see last week, but it's on the drift. 3.50 out to 4.20. Tommy Markwand gets the ride. Autumn Angel is there at 7.50. They're the only three in single digits. We move up to things like Tutta La Vida, which ran enormous, to be fair, against Orchestral last start. Just a peach from Nash, but it's also on the drift. It's 8s out to 10s. Quintessa is there. Opie's riding. But look, Tommy, can we go around Orchestral? Very impressive in what it's did, but must be getting tired by now.
Yeah, that's the key, Zach. You hit the nail on the head there. It's had a lot of starts. And look, after seeing it last start, you can see why it is that price and it. Yeah, she's amazing. But so is Zardozi. And you go back and watch her Oaks, and she ate up every bit of that. And they were talking Melbourne Cups after that too. So I think she laid up the distance. The 2400 might be for her as well, and getting a fourth up too. I want to take the 420 instead of the $1.65. I just think this has been a target all along. They didn't risk it last week. They're going ahead to this week, and I'd rather take the 420, to be honest. Dozy, even though this Orchestral might be something special, I just like the horse targeting the race compared to Orchestral, who just kept going, and had a lot of good starts, but just it keeps stealing what's asked. So I think it's between those two, but Tutor La Vida was great with Nash on and really gave a great sight. 2400 is a different story, though. So, yeah, I can't make a case for too much others, but I'm going to go Zardozy. But, yeah, Orchestral is going to be tough.
Is it pretty much agree with Tommy sort of action, Coey?
I'm happy to back the Kiwi here. I think it's just putting the miles on the legs and just watch her stride out. I think the 2400, the way she did it in the New Zealand Derby, I think I'm not saying that it's going to win by margins and panels, but I think it's just going to be the one to catch. I can totally see what Tommy's saying, but I think, dare I say, I think she would have been really competitive in that derby. I know that Riff's one of mine. I do like Riff Rocket and everything else, but I think Zardozy would have given that an almighty shake if she ran in that. And the fact that they had to pivot and eventually come back to the Oaks, I think that might have changed things up in James Cummings' head a little bit. And I don't know. Like, I think I'm not to say that she kind of peaked in that little that Vinery, but it felt like she peaked a little bit early. And I don't know if that's just to do with the sharpness of Orchestral or the Tutor La Vida tactics or whatever it might be. But I just don't know if Zardozy is good enough to catch Orchestral. Definitely can agree with Tommy with Tutor La Vida. I mean, this is the Waller Polish Oaks, you know, filly. He's won, five of the last however many or four of the, you know, he's got a history with this race. And, you know, the late, great, very elegant won this. Hungry Hearts won this. Unforgotten's won this. You know, the list goes on. So he knows how to target a horse like her to something like this, a grand final. So can't take anything away from him, but saying that, I think Orchestral's just too good. And I guess the interesting horses are the two Victorians, Autumn Angel and Vaselina. Both of them could fill the minors. I think Autumn Angel just hit a slight, you know, flat spot in last week's Adrian Knox, where, you know, good banter, just had a nice little truck in horse to follow, so to speak, and ultimately won. So I think she'll be fitted for it. And if the camp sees her fit to run in this, definitely for the minors. And Vaselina comes out of the same race as Autumn Angel a couple starts back, I think, in the Alistair Clark. And you know what? One that could figure in the place at a decent price. But yeah, all eyes on Orchestral, and she could be anything.
All right, chips in $1.65. We go to the Sydney Cup, worth $2 million, 3,200 metres. The favourite is Circle of Fire. It's drawn pretty wide. It's $4.50 out to about $4.80. Was really good, I guess, in the last week in the Chairman's. Ran home down the middle of the track and was just very impressive, I think. There we got others decently short, I guess, as well. But that was $4.80. We got old mate Stockman, who loves the slop. We have Ahmad. We have Athabaskan, which is a horse that, or a jockey in Tyler Schiller. He's always wanted to win the Sydney Cup. We'd mentioned that last week. It's a tough race. Ashrun is there. Military Mission's going to be reading from the front. Serpentine was enormous in that race a couple of weeks ago, where it went head-to-head with Zarek. Zarek headed it, I think it was the Selwood, and then kicked back and won. So a lot of these horses are going to be very tough, as you can imagine, in a 3,200-meter race. Tommy, I haven't landed on one here, but we're getting 480 the field, probably a bit more with a little bit of a drift for Circle of Fire. My old mate Man Zeus is going around, Zach Lloyd on. I don't know where to land. What do you reckon?
Yeah, tough one. Treated a bit like a Melbourne Cup. I sort of look at the ones that have got to the distance and can do it. And that rules out a lot, actually, surprisingly. you sort of only are looking at horses like Loft, Mostly Cloudy, and Salino have won at the distance. So I might have a little bit of something on all three of them. And Mahajan as well, the Auckland and New Zealand Cup winner who beat Mark Twain. And Mark Twain had a great showing in the Roy Higgins. So, look, I'll probably have a little something on all them, just the stayers. And how often do you see the ones that can just go the distance, pop up and win at a good price? And there's some good prices there. I wish I got some of the 50s at Salino. But, yeah, probably just a little something on them. In saying that, there's two I want to say that have another go at this start, and that's Manzois for sure. Getting up to this distance, 51.5. Yeah, I reckon he can stay all day and have a – I reckon he might find his niche at the 2 miles. And Circle Fire was pretty good last week and on the back up as well. Wouldn't surprise if he puts in a really good – big showing as well, but Sydney Cup's such a lottery. You can throw up a few different things. So I'll just back a couple of roughies, I reckon.
Yeah, my roughie will probably Loft just to see how it'll go. But Coey, who takes out the first leg of the quaddie?
Of course it's the first leg of the quaddie as well, isn't it? Being a lottery. A lot of us are probably going to be playing the treble off the back of this. But I have settled for Ashrun, and I know that it's carried 55.5 or thereabouts, and you don't want to see, systematically, you look back at the past winners, and most of them have been kind of ranging between, 51.5 and 53 kilos. That's where you want to be kind of weight scale-wise for the Sydney Cup, but I think Ashrun just, it's such a honest horse, and you know what, since being in Mar and, well, was David Eustace back then, their care, it hasn't run a really bad race at all. You look at it, you can go back to the Melbourne Cup last year, came fourth, and the Tancred hit out where it came third. I think that's a good hit out for this. It was a tough run, 1.5 miles. It's going to be rock hard fit coming into it. And I think the price is right. Despite the 55.5, you have to remember it had to be penalised because of the Pakenham Cup win, and I'd never thought that'd be the case, but it's been penalised 1.5. And if it was 54 kilos on Saturday, I think I would make it a genuine bet. But that 1.5 in a slog could make all the difference. Saying that, the others to watch out are made. I don't know how to tie up its form, but the run in the Adelaide Cup where Zach Spain lost the irons, and for an inkling, I thought he might actually win. Yeah, without any irons, it was quite the sight. If it had its irons in, he would have won. But that's the kind of horse a made is. I think it's just you can't catch it. Circle of Fire, obviously great in the Chambers last week, but I think the conditions are going to be slightly different. Being a European or an ex-European, if it's on the good side, well, Australian good four thereabouts by the time this is run, could find it a little bit too firm on its foot, and it's definitely a stronger field than last week's Chairman. So, I do have my doubts. I know I do like the short backup and everything else, but I do query, and Mostly Cloudy, I think that's the one that's definitely at the overs, as Tommy mentioned, in the Roy Higgins behind Mark Twain. I think at 51.5 kilos, third up, ready to go bang. Definitely a place bet, if not one for the exotics. So for this race, I'm going to go Ashrun on top. I could probably mark it for a couple of quid, and then Mostly Cloudy for the place.
All right. Decent odds. Decent odds. We go to the Queen Elizabeth, $5 million, an absolute cracking race. This is a kind of race where I can look at nearly all of them, I would say probably bar two, and make a case for them, which is pretty surprising. Big winners of the past, Dubai Honor, Think It Over, A Day. We obviously remember those going head-to-head, and then Winx. It's a cracking race. But look, this is wild. We got a favorite in VS Sestina. We saw what it did a couple of weeks ago. It was amazing. We also saw what Place to Carousel did, and that's $11. So we're going $220 to $11. We have Seller Wolf, which got in really late into the market, only came in a couple of days ago, but that's at 17. Also has been running quite well, especially that run against Riff Rocket was really good. Pride of Jenny, we know the horse. It's going to be out in front. It's $4. The roughie of the field is Zarek. We get $8.50 for Cascadian. Was enormous, beating Pride of Jenny last start. Mr. Brightside, tell me when it was last time. It was $10. That's crazy. And we even have Lindemann, Kovalika, and those sorts as well. So, Tom, this is really hard to land on one. Obviously, the favourite was enormous, but look, fuck, anything can happen in this.
Yeah, mate. Look, it's definitely hard to go past via Sustainer. Sort of did first up, and could easily do it again and be an easy result. And I think Place to Carousel is a good price too, considering undefeated second up and wasn't too bad first up either. So look at those two, and yeah, you could easily be enticed there. Pride of Jenny could be the thing that upsets the apple cart, just genuine speed. It'd be interesting to see. It'll be a bit, little bit of battle. You might have Lindemann go a bit more forward, so doesn't get too far away from it. Place to Carousel as well, won't be too far. And then you might have them spread out a bit with Via Sustainer back a bit. Cascadian we saw come from last, and Brandon last start too. Buckaroo's interesting, and Kovalika. I really like the book in the Nash on Kovalika. I'll definitely have something on it. But yeah, I think it's the two Yulong horses you got to be wary of. Mr. Brightside, Pride of Jenny, just, I don't know, you think the mile was where their strengths are at, and Cascadian was good. It would have been good to see a tissue battle in here too, but maybe another Queen of the Turf for a tissue, but really, really good Queen Elizabeth.
It's one of the greats. Coey, thoughts?
I'm pretty much in the same camp. I think Via Sistina, it's probably the best horse that Yulong's ever bought into, and it could pay immediate dividends. I think it's won about $500,000 winning that Rambit in absolute stylish form, and the Queen Elizabeth is worth $5 million, so it'll probably claim another $2 and a bit million there. So, I mean, it seems like everything screams Dubai on a day, the typical European, and even Chris Waller has given it that same treatment where, you know, they've gone through the Rambit, won or lost, doesn't matter. They have it tip-top second up coming into something like this, the grand final, Queen Elizabeth Stakes, where, you know, Winx won so many, and the list goes on. This is the grand final of the autumn as it comes. And I think Via Sistina looks extremely hard to beat. Just even looking back at the Champion Stakes, which it came second in before being shipped over to Australia, you know, the likes of a Dave and Frankel have won that. And, you know, it just shows the caliber of horse that has to even place to be in that race. So I think Via Sistina, definitely the one to beat. Others to consider. I know that Tommy Berry's been really chuffed about the progression of Place to Carousel. So I don't take that lightly. Pride of Jenny, obviously, the speed machine herself. She will dictate. I can almost guarantee that. If I can't pick a winner, I know that she will dictate and she'll set the tempo and she does what she does. So she will be leading for, I would probably say, 85% of this race. And if she has a picnic up front, it's hers to pinch from everyone else. And obviously Cascadian's the immediate danger who caught her in the Australian Cup. It was great to see him go back-to-back there. But I think class, all in all, just kind of shines through. And I think Via Sistina is the one to back now, back in the Cox Plate, et cetera, et cetera. I think the futures bets are on here. And I just want to do a quick mention on Mr. Brightside. I think just even looking back at its history, I know it was the best Milo, and I don't know if Jenny has officially taken that title. In my eyes, not officially, but last preparation in the spring, he went fifth up into the Cox Plate where he was narrowly beaten by Romantic Warrior. His fifth up run over the 2000, this preparation was last start in the Australian Cup where he got, well, I mean, not pantsed, but he just didn't perform as well. and now he's going to be sixth up running 2,000 metres again, and I just don't see any value in that. Last preparation, he stepped back down to the 1,600, lost to Pride of Jenny over the mile. So I just don't like the makeup of the preparation. Maybe it's just too long of a prep for him nowadays, being an older horse, but I don't know. I think the $10 is probably the right price for him. I just don't know if I can take him at all.
All right, $10 you're getting. We go to the Queen of the Turf. This is a race that Tommy won a couple of years ago with Natoya. Another one, I think Tommy Berry rode that day. But Queen of the Turf, worth $1 million over the mile. A Tissue is there at $5. Our race favourite is Zugotcha coming out of the inside barrier. It's $3.50. It's pretty much bang on what it opened. We're getting $9.50 for Olentia. Tommy Berry is aboard. Couple of bucks for it. $6.50 for Tropical Squall. Hippo is riding. And then we're getting double figures for nearly everything else. Some other ones. Samana, always been one of mine. Ran a really good second, I think, to Zugotcha. Just got pipped by 0.3 of a length. That hurts. You're getting $11 there and $3.40 the place. Could be getting a couple of bucks from me. You're getting Ruthless Dame is 15s. And that's probably it. The rest of them are about 20 and so more. Macarena's there as well. If you want to do your head in, watch that race again. Macarena's last start. So that is probably overs, I think, as well. But Tommy, what do you think? Even the Arctic Glamour, 34s. Ran a good second last start. But Tommy, thoughts?
I think Chris Waller's going to win this race. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, good one. Yep.
Just don't know which one. You got Zugotcha, Great Cornwall Classic. You got a Tissue back to mile suits. Won this race before, and you got Olentia, who was amazing last dart. I probably lean to Olentia with the X Factor and the better price. $9.50. I think it's a great price. But yeah, a Tissue and Zugotcha really worry me. Tropical Squall definitely gets a good lead from Barrier 3. Maybe does it get left alone? Could it just steal one? Mile makes it a bit tricky. I guess it's going to depend on pattern of the day too, where they're coming from. And Waller's got an army as well, so he could send one to undo it. So yeah, very tricky. I'd probably just Olentia and have a few in the quaddy.
All right, decent odds. Olentia, you get $9.50, like Tommy said, $3 a place. Coey, you finding value? What do you like the faves?
I actually like Tropical Squall. I know the Waller Brigade are going to be extremely tough to beat. I mean, you look at a Tissue, a proper weight for age horse. She's won over $4 million. And, you know, securing Blake Shin on the right is, that's A grade right there. Fourth up last prep was over the mile and was beaten by Pride of Jenny. So that form is strong. I think she's cemented herself as one that, you know, like she is honest as the day is long. She is a great horse. Saying that, the map is, I don't know. I just don't know how to press on from where she begins. She is a bit of a go back type, and drawn inside could be a detriment to her. I don't know. I just don't know about her. Zugotcha, obviously, Tommy said, Cornwall Classic winner. She was great in both her runs this prep, winning both of them. Hasn't been disadvantaged at all by the weights. She carries 57 both times. Into this, off the back of that Group 1 win in the Cornwall Classic. Barrier 1, J-Mac, they're all great. I guess the small caveat, if we were to have one, is just the drying conditions. I know that her soft record or even heavier record is far better than on top of the ground, so she probably needs a little bit of rain, as I reckon. I think it will be running a good four by this stage of the day anyway, so it could make it trickier. And Olentia, yeah, definitely the X Factor horse. Plenty of depth in this race, but you know, her win in the Emancipation where she pants to rivals, great. She's pretty versatile. The map is a little bit awkward, but this is a grand final, so she's been trained to the minute. So I expect her to perform well. But Tropical Squall, last preparation, third up over the mile, she won the flight stakes. So I think that is the exact same setup that Adrian and Gay Waterhouse has done. She gets the gun barrier. I think she could pretty much have a soft enough lead, I think, as I kind of, you know, think in my head. I think she will get a soft enough lead up front where she can get some soft tech sectionals. I think Hippo on board. I can see him saluting again. Tick, tick, tick. She'll be a, I think she'll be a three-time Group 1 winner by the end of Saturday if she wins. So she's definitely got runs on the board as well, and she's slightly forgotten in the market. She's, you know, keeps the weight low being a filly. So I'd take that into advantage. And her Coolmore Classic run was tough. She'll be fit for this, you know, about, what, 4 weeks in between runs. So, yeah, I'm going for Tropical Squall just for the price sake. I think the Wallaby grade is going to be really tough. And Samana, don't take lightly. But, yeah, Tropical Squall for me.
All righty, Tropical Squall. Hippo, last race of the day is the Sapphire. 1,200 metres, Red Card, one of Tommy's short favourite in $2.60. Drawn very wide, Hippo gets the rides, won its last couple, had a couple of trials. 260, very short. Tashi is there, drawn 11 with Tom Sherry aboard. The good coin, though, is coming for Soltaire. That's drawn barrier 2, Willow aboard, John O'Shea. It's 11s into 550, which is pretty big. Hannah Ratter third against Estriella in Flemington a couple weeks ago. So that was pretty good, but that's where the coin's coming. So 550 there, and then everything else is really big odds. I guess you're getting a couple decent for Wee Nessie. A couple of dollars come for that. 12's into 850. Jamie Carr is riding, and Same Majik is there as well at $10. You know, pretty much got out to 12, but 10's. Timmy Clark gets that ride. But Tommy, are you with Red Card?
I saw Tashi track Look at the Stars on Tuesday morning. It was flying. So it was hard not to be impressed, and especially this prep, just going from strength to strength. But I think I've got to go Red Card. I really liked its two starts this prep. And what James Cummins said after the last win was, and he mentioned this race straight away, and it would have been easily to be tempted into another race, how well it's been going. But stick to the plan, and I do like that. The only thing is I wish he drew sort of close to the fence and really can just go on from there. But I don't think there's too much speed. I think I'll just go forward and just keep going. That extra 100 metres after we've seen two really strong 1,100 metre runs from it, it's going to be interesting. But, yeah, I like what James has done with this horse, so I've got to stay with it. But wouldn't be surprised if Tashi knocks it off.
With the fave in the last, Coey?
I can't deny it. Big fan of Red Card. But in this race, I'm once again kind of going around it. I think that barrier is a little bit of a detriment. I just think that 1,200 metres from that outside draw, it does make it tricky. I think he might have to work a little bit. I think there is not necessarily overwhelming pressure on the inside of it, but I think there is enough for it to work. I just think that the horses with the better barriers will push forward and try and hold fence. So I think just the fact that Red Card is so wide out, he might need to work a little bit over time, and it could burn the candle on both ends. And that's why I am going towards Tashi and Wee Nessie. I think that that form has been trumped, Chain of Lightning form. So look what Chain of Lightning's done. You know, like it won the birthday card and then it went on to win TJ Smith. I think that is some proper form lines to go ahead and, you know, press the go button on. So I think Wee Nessie, I'm leaning towards Wee Nessie because of the draw. I think Tashi definitely travelled better and is probably the more informed horse off the back of the birthday card, but Tashi has also drawn wide as well. So I've got a feeling both Red Card and Tashi could overwork in the run, whereby I think Wee Nessie gets a box seat run. Or, you know, thereabouts. It'd be near speed, but with cover. And it will need a little bit of luck getting out of the pocket. But if it gets out of the pocket, I think it'd be the one that's travelling to the line the best. So the gun draw helps. Jamie Carr steer, big ticks. And you look back 12 months, you know, like she hasn't won on the good surface ever before, but she's got a heap of placings. And 12 months ago, she ran second behind Lady Laguna and in front of Lady Laguna. So Lady Laguna came third, and Parasol won that race in a group two set for set weights for 3-year-olds. So on the same surface and trip. So I think putting all that into calculations, I think I am leaning towards Wee Nessie, but saying that, Red Card, Tashi, and even Say Majik coming out of the birthday card could all upset, and I'll be having a few in the last leg of the quaddie, but each way play Wee Nessie.
All righty, Wee Nessie to take out the last. Decent odds too, you get an 850 Jammy Car. All right, that is Randwick. There is not much happening elsewhere, in my opinion, unless, Tommy, you like anything in the country tracks or anything like that to keep an eye on, or Ascot. We saw Amelia's Jewel get run down, or not get run down, not run down, Pikey in the last. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I haven't had a good look into Ascot yet. I think we've only got the Derby market out at the moment. Zipaway, the favourite, and Buckets Ridge for Willie Pike. So I haven't looked too much there. Just having a little look at Morfordville, though. There's some good horses starting to work towards their carnival. And there's two Patrick Payne. Yeah, Molly Nick is going around. But there's two Patrick Payne horses that just keep your eyes out for leading to the carnival. Bold Soul returning after winning some races in Tassie, going towards an Oaks. And Wings of a Song as well has strung a few wins together, Jake Noon and Patty Payne. So they're two to watch out. And then I think I'm going to be with Benedetta in the Irwin Stakes. So a couple in Adelaide to look out for.
All right, Benedetta, $3 fave in that stakes. Coey, anything else? I know you're overseas, probably haven't been keeping an eye on anything, but besides Manly winning 13-plus against the Premiers last couple of weeks, that was always good. But anything you like this weekend besides Randwick?
Let's just double down on Manly 13-plus again.
Oh, I'm a bit nervous this weekend. We got Ben Trbojevic starting in the centres, but yep, I'm good. I wasn't overly confident last week, but we get it done. But anything else?
Mate, anything else? We got a bit... It was better than got it done.
Yeah, it was very hot.
Let's be real here.
So Tommy, it was Tommy's hung up by now.
Yeah, I think I hear the dull tone.
Anything else races-wise? You like anything? Have you looked at anything, or are we just focus on Randwick?
Let's be real. I'll do some... I've got a lot of time next to a big swim-up pool, and I've got all the technology at the ready, so I will be divulging, and we'll be having a shop around, and Tommy and yourself could be getting a message in the chat. Put the bets on and make sure that we can salute.
Alrighty. Alright, well, enjoy your holiday, mate. Tommy, enjoy the track. At least it's not going to be pissing down all week, and you know that you're actually going to be out there. But as we do...
Sorry, mate, any Masters betting from you?
I'm not too flushed. I asked my friend Ollie, who... runs Aussie Beef Golf. If you're into and need any golf coaching, he coaches all the NRL boys and Hamish and Andy, and he has a lot of them. He sent me a couple. So, Tommy, I know you love it, but tell me about this. So, apparently Scotty Scheffler is like a shoe-in. I know that $5 is very short, but everyone I've spoken to likes him. Everything at my work, money is like everyone's popular. Adam Scott, though, he reckons top 10, Patrick Reed top 5, and at value, Rahm or Hovland to win. What about you?
I like them. I just think Johnny Rahm on his day is a real wild card. So I just back him at $14 and something on Tiger just in case, and maybe Cam Smith. But
Smith like got a chance. He's been pretty ordinary.
Yeah, but he's capable of just having that good one. Some of the Aussies are like that. Jason Day can pop up out of nowhere.
Minwood Lee's been a bit ordinary too lately.
Yeah, true. But no, just looking forward to it.
Yeah, Masters is pretty unreal. So, anything from you, Coey, for the golf?
No, I'll be sending cash to someone to put the bets on, I guess.
All right. You get it. You can maybe Hideki Matsuyama. Or is it fifth favourite? All right, enjoy the rest of your holiday. We'll talk soon. We'll be putting things on Facebook as we do each week, so keep an eye on that. But enjoy, boys. Talk soon.
Cheers,
lads.